Yeah, what can I do for you?
Okay, picture a cell phone and an email machine all in one thing. There is a free wireless internet signal all across North America, and nobody has figured out how to use it. It's like the Force. Sorry, have you seen Star Wars?
No.
That guy is sketchy. I don't think he's sketchy. The guy's a shark.
I know how to market it, and I know who we can sell it to. But I want 50% of the company, and I've got to be CEO.
I don't know who you think you are, but
deal.
Are you joking?
We are in a race to get this thing to market, and we are a year behind. I need a prototype.
It's that time again. Welcome to CJSR's Moving Radio. My name is Lindsay Campbell, and I'm here with my wonderful co-host,
Mark Davies.
And we're here to talk to you today about a new Canadian film called Blackberry. It came out just last year. It's up for a ton of Canadian Screen Awards. And we thought that this would be a great entry for our ongoing series of Thanks Telefilm.
Well, let's first start to give props to this film because it's really well done. But first of all, this is probably the most commercial film I think we've ever done on Thanks Telefilm. And I know when we first were pitching each other ideas of films that we wanted to talk about, we somehow came down the line of talking about Jay Baruchel, right? Yeah. That was kind of the impetus of everything, wasn't it?
It was. I was getting a little excited about Jay Baruchel because I find that he's one of the few more mainstream actors that works in America who constantly comes back to do Canadian films. Like, we don't get that from Seth Rogen or from a lot of people other than maybe Michael Ironside. We don't get a lot of these people coming back and doing telefilm stuff over and over again. And so I had just watched the new Caitlin Cronenberg film, Humane, which Jay Baruchel is in. And I thought, oh, let's talk about Jay Baruchel. And we kind of narrowed it down to this one. I kind of suggested a few, but I was, you know, maybe being a little lofty with my goal.
You know, the great thing too about this film is I think, like I said, it's probably the most commercial film we've ever done on Thanks Telefilm. And I'm sure there's quite a bit of public discourse and discussion that's already occurred around the film, but it's even more unique too, because what they did with this film, I saw recently, I think it was about last year or a few months ago, I think they even chopped it up and you could watch it as a mini series on CBC Gem, their streaming service. So this film's been around a long time, and rightfully so. I think this is one of the first times that it's probably a film that's important that you can continually just talk about, and we should continually promote it. And in this film, you know, I always like to start off with how I would pitch this in an elevator. And I basically would say it's The Social Network meets the Canadian maple flag. And can you give me $5 million to make it? That's what I would say to the executive that I'm sure in the elevator with.
Well, it was a $5 million budget. So you're
right
on the nose there. I will give a little side shout out. Michael Ironside is in this movie as well.
He is, yes.
As
why don't you give a little synopsis to the millions of listeners? Because, I mean, the name's pretty straightforward, but you can even just drop a little bit of a plot for everybody. So if they haven't seen the film, we strongly recommend it. But
I think obviously everybody knows what a BlackBerry is, and I don't mean the berry. I mean the electronic device. Everybody knows what a BlackBerry is. It was kind of a precursor to the iPhone and to any of these like devices where you could read your email, but also use it as a telephone and a texting device. It was the first one. So this film is about the team in 1996 in Waterloo who come up with this idea. And wow, it's based on a book. It's based on a true story. And like you said, it's got the CBC Gem miniseries where they've added 16 minutes and made it into 3 episodes. You can find a lot of information out about the whole sort of rise and incredible fall of BlackBerry, and it's quite involved. I don't want to kind of give away the whole film if you don't know the story, but I think honestly, like you said, Social Network, when I think of this movie, I think this would be a wonderful double feature with the Seth Rogen Steve Jobs movie. Do you remember that one with Michael Fassbender as Steve Jobs?
I do, and I think you're bang on with that. Absolutely, that would make a great double feature with it.
I think that would be pretty funny.
I always, whenever you put me on when you put me on Mark and make me put down the assignment, and I put in the work and I make a lot of notes here, and the first point I have about this movie, Lindsay, is Glenn Howerton as Jim Bosili. And this guy, I'm not actually too familiar with Glenn Howerton's work. I don't know a lot of work that I've previously seen him in. I've seen Jay Baruchel a lot, but the performance itself, is just out of this world. He comes in throwing 100 miles per hour as Jim Bosili, who he basically was kind of like an individual. He's let go from his company and he has a Harvard background. But the things that Glenn does with the performance in terms of, first of all, the mannerisms, he's aggressive when he needs to be aggressive. He's more calm and you can see he's calculating at times when he's maybe sitting, near his phone or in the car. And just the way, that he's always kind of the alpha male in the room and kind of exerting his power over everybody around him. And then at times he's a bit sleazy and he's a bit slimy. And I don't know the type of inspiration Glenn took to nail this performance. I don't know if he was watching, YouTube videos of Jim Bosili and trying to, do his mannerisms, or, if Glenn kind of, had a book that he read, but he nailed it. Like, this was the type of film I could not stop watching. I probably started it too late one night and I went to bed, around 1 a.m. in the morning, because I cannot take my eyes off of how good Glenn is as Jim Bosili.
He's incredible. In the trivia on IMDb, it says that he wasn't able to meet Jim before filming, but he's met him since. And that one of the things that helped him with the performance was finding out that that Jim Bosley does not give a lot of interviews or appear in public very often. So I guess maybe that gave him a bit of liberty to do whatever. But apparently Jim Bosley loves the performance and thinks it's great. And apparently this is the only movie in his entire life that he's watched more than once.
Well, it's funny you would say that as well, because I actually did go on YouTube and I wanted to see what he looked like in real life. And I actually was almost, I don't know if disappointed is the right word, but what I saw in the film and how I saw him presenting himself on YouTube were, you could see similarities, but at the same time, I was like expecting this guy to almost scream at the camera while he was being interviewed, but that wasn't the case. But it was just, I would say the number one reason I enjoyed the film the most. I mean, we'll talk about other elements of the film, but I would say the performance by Glenn was what kept me so captivated. And I hope, people will continue to work with Glenn in the future. And I hope he gets a lot of work, because this is probably like a generational talent. That's how good this performance was.
He's so good in this film, and he has won several awards for it. He's been nominated for several awards. This film is actually up for pretty much every single category of the Canadian Screen Awards this coming May. It's in every category. So if that's not a resounding endorsement to check out this very, very good film, I don't know what is. I don't know.
The next thing that I really noticed about the film too was, if we kind of take, peel back kind of the whole point of, like, let's say the story itself, the director, Matt Johnson, he certainly has command of kind of film language and film references. And a lot of this film to me felt like it was kind of like a comic book film. And I don't mean comic book film like it's dealing with superheroes and stuff like that, but kind of like the culture of movie cinema probably over the last 25 years that Matt probably grew up on, things like films like They Live or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or an Arnold Schwarzenegger film. And you could tell he likes dropping references throughout the film. And, the reason they're doing that is it's, the company, they have this movie night. But I think Matt did it because I would say it's almost his love language to cinema itself and the movies that he grew up on. And I never felt it was out of place. Like, it was just kind of like, I want to show you guys that I really believe in film. I believe in the language of film. And you know what? I'm gonna have some fun with it as well and talk about kind of, pop culture films that we probably all grew up on.
It's funny you mentioned that, because apparently Matt Johnson wanted to include a clip from Total Recall in the film for one of their movie night scenes, specifically because, again, name dropping him so much here, Michael Ironside was in Total Recall, but they couldn't get the rights, so that was too bad.
That is too bad. That's a shame, actually. And they did get some B-roll footage of They Live, which is kind of a popular John Carpenter film from the 80s. I don't know how many people have seen that, but
I hope everybody.
And then I think, too, they used some of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles soundtrack, so he certainly had to probably, like, squeak the wheels and really get some work done in terms of getting the rights to have that intellectual property in the film.
Well, I think this is a really great film that everyone should watch, and I'm kind of hoping that it'll actually do really well at the Screen Awards. Ironically, though, this was a bomb at the box office here in Canada. It made $300,000, which
Oh,
is
I didn't
really.
realize it was that little in Canada. I
Yeah.
think, though, when I was kind of doing the research, it probably made a little bit more overseas, but I didn't realize it was so little. But it did play theatrically. I think you could have gone to your local theater to check it out when it was out.
Absolutely. Well, it was released theatrically. And again, if you want to watch it as a mini series, you can stream it on AMC Plus in the States or wherever, and you can get it on CBC Gem for free. And they've apparently added about 16 minutes or so between the three episodes. And each episode focuses on a different time period as well throughout the film. They cover 96 to 2007. So.
The one thing I wanted to talk about too was kind of the politics of the film. Certainly this film is kind of like, a tale about capitalism and kind of the aggressive nature of get it done, the be all end all. But I never felt Matt was kind of interested in whether he was pro-capitalism or anti-capitalism. I think he just wanted to tell the story, and it was more, I would probably say, focused on the characters and their intricacies and what motivates them. Sometimes you watch a film and it'll be anti-corporation, but I don't know. What did you kind of think about when you walked away from the film? What were your kind of your resounding thoughts?
I think it was a bit of a cautionary tale, but in a very, very Canadian kind of a way. Definitely a cautionary tale about ego and technology and perhaps making things bigger than what you can deliver on, and this sort of frantic, you're crashing, your whole company is coming down, and you're so polite as a Canadian, and trying to figure out nice ways to fix it, but just not being aggressive enough at all. It seems very that to me it's so such a Canadian story of success and failure.
That's great. You know what? I like how you said it too, because certainly you have the dichotomy of the Jim Balsillie character, but then you have, we haven't talked about it yet, but Jay Baruchel playing Mike Lazardus. And Mike, you're right, is kind of the quintessential Canadian. He's pretty polite in the film, what I mean? I mean, I won't spoil the ending of the film, but certainly he shares all the Canadian characteristics that we have, that he likes to avoid confrontation. He certainly would be the type of person that wants to listen before he talks, and he's pretty loyal. I mean, certainly he does kind of have a character arc throughout the film, and some of his personality changes throughout, but definitely, as you said, Canadian through and through, I think, at the end of the film. And it's even funny, when I was doing kind of research on this film, after I watched it, the first thing I found was a picture of Mike Lazardus online, and
Yeah.
he had kind of this bright smile, and he just looked friendly, and I was like, you know what, that's the type of guy I'd love to have like a Molson Canadian with, actually.
He looks so friendly. He's a very Canadian looking guy. Does not look a thing like Jay Baruchel whatsoever. That's fine. But yeah, he looks lovely. He looks really like a nice guy. And I'm sure that he's been through enough that he probably is pretty nice.
Absolutely. How about some of the technical aspects of the film? I would probably say, once again, I think Matt Johnson grew up on kind of like comic book culture and films and stuff like that, and he explodes the movie with a really great montage. This is the type of thing that you probably would have saw maybe on Much Music, and it really felt like some of the elements that the montage started with was kind of Much Music centric. When the montage started, I was like, let's go, like, let's do this, right? Like, I was in this film within the first 10 minutes of it, and that was one thing that I really enjoyed. And I also enjoyed a lot of the camera work. He's certainly quite deft with it. He's sleight of hand. He knows kind of the shots he's looking for. I found he had a lot of shots where your protagonist might be in the background, but they would be pulling maybe something to the foreground. And certainly a man who's quite skilled with the camera, when film's kind of the language of the camera, I thought he was great.
I thought it was very well done and well shot, but I did find that there was a bit of that. It was made very popular in like on The Office and shows like that, the sort of like whoosh pan zoom of shaky in the midst of it, but it really worked here. It doesn't necessarily work all the time. It can be quite irritating and take me out of a movie, but I think it worked really well because of sort of the hectic, frenetic pacing of the film. But I thought it worked very well. I thought it was very effective. It's really nicely shot.
It's funny too, we talk about, you mentioned a show like The Office, because I thought the film checked off like a lot of boxes in terms of like it felt Canadian, but also at the same time, it felt like something came from Los Angeles, California, like straight from Hollywood. Like,
certainly the film used a lot of pacing at the beginning of the discussion. I thought a lot about The Social Network, and even like kind of the final scene I thought was very similar to when Mark Zuckerberg, you know, at the end of The Social Network is kind of refreshing his page to see if one of his ex-girlfriends has accepted his friend request. It's kind of very similar to what Mike Lazarus does at the end of the film with some mm-hmm. product that he's looking over again, and he kind of has this huge warehouse and he has to go through each phone, you know, supposedly, who knows if he did, but felt very, very akin to The Social Network.
It was a nice way to end the film. It was sort of hinting at things aren't over for these people, but it's never going to be as good as it was.
So I think probably one of the things we haven't talked enough about is, let's hit it, like, you know, kind of give me your thoughts on Jay Baruchel and kind of what he brought to Mike Lazarus. And would you say he delivered what he needed to with the performance? And what did you kind of think of him overall?
I mean, so Jay Baruchel is one of those actors who's always kind of just Jay Baruchel in whatever, but it always works and it's fine. And I don't ever mind it. There are certain actors who do that same thing and it drives me crazy. I can't stand it at all. But for some reason, Jay Baruchel has always just sort of worked for me in whatever he's been in. And like I said, I do really appreciate that he comes back constantly to make Canadian films. So anything he's in, I'm going to be interested right off the bat, especially if it's Canadian. Okay, what's he doing now? Like The Trotsky is incredible. The Goon films are incredible. He directed the second one. I love these movies so much. So, you know, the whole Jay Baruchel angle really sells it for me. It definitely helps elevate Canadian cinema because, you know, you've got names, which is a thing that I feel like Canadian films are always missing the mark. We bring in these like sort of lukewarm C-list Americans. So when we can have somebody like Jay Baruchel, who's, oh, he's ours and he knows he's ours. He likes being ours. He goes off and does stuff, but he comes back because he's ours. And I love that. I feel like he's a champion of Canadian cinema without being annoying about it or too loud or flashy. He's very Canadian about it. He's so polite about it. And he always does have that sort of neurotic-y kind of nervousness to all of his characters. But I thought it really worked nicely here. Seeing him in gray, like white gray hair, somehow seemed to calm him down a little bit. Like he was trying so hard to make his company work, but I don't feel like it was really ever about him so much as he just really believed that this could happen. And so I thought it had a bit of gravitas to it that we don't necessarily see Jay Baruchel doing very often, but he can, and he does.
You're right. He can, because one thing I thought too about his performance was, if, you know, if Glenn was kind of doing the alpha male in the room, I wouldn't say that, you know, Jay Baruchel was the alpha male in the room, but he certainly was probably the most articulate. I would say he was just kind of more playing chess, you know, whereas Glenn was probably playing checkers a lot of the time, right? He was probably slamming the pieces down on the board metaphorically, whereas I kind of felt Jay was playing more chess. And he actually has a great physical transformation too, as you said, kind of with the white hair, because as the film goes on, he kind of, you know, transitions from kind of more mopey looking person with just kind of a disheveled t-shirt and gray khaki pants to 10 years later, kind of in the film. And he kind of has a suit on and hair is slicked back, and his posture, you can tell he was kind of playing with it a little bit more. And, mm-hmm. you know, kind of that transformation when the company took the big leap to kind of being the leading, you know, cell phone provider in the world. So certainly one of the more unique performances of Jay. I can't, you know, like I said, when I think of him too, I think of more, you know, humble performances, and you, like you said, kind of just happy to be there and maybe play the sidekick. But, you know, I certainly felt there was at a time when I was like, okay, you know, I see this, you know, he's kind of the one now in charge, even though people don't think he is, but he kind of knows deep down that he's the one who's kind of pulling everybody's strings. And in the end, maybe he's the one who kind of makes the bigger decisions, whereas Jim or slash Glenn kind of thought he was in control the whole time.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. No, I was just looking at Jay's filmography. And if we go back to the Trotsky in 2009, he really is coming back almost every year to make a movie in Canada. We've got The Trotsky in 2009. That's the same year he did Night at the Museum. Then he came back in 2011 with The First Goon. That was on the heels of How to Train Your Dragon and She's Out of My League. Like, these are big movies for him. Same with Good Neighbors. Then he does a couple other things. He comes back for Cosmopolis. He does this is the end. He comes back for Art of the Steal. He does RoboCop. He does How to Train Your Dragon 2. He comes back again for Goon, the second one, Last of the Enforcers. Does more How to Train Your Dragon. Does more stuff. Comes back. Random Acts of Violence, Blackberry, and Humaine are his last three listed, and all three of those are Canadian films.
It's, you know, I always like that exercise when you kind of do the filmography of an actor. And I didn't realize, you know, it felt more like maybe over the last 7 years. But I mean, when you say 2009, I mean, we're looking at a good, you know, 15 to 16 year career where he's certainly not afraid to step back on Canadian soil and do productions that might not necessarily have the exposure or have the box office, you know, kind of power of a film like How to Train Your Dragon. But that's interesting, you know, it's you know, that he's coming back, you know, so consistently and so regularly.
I think it's exciting and it makes me happy for Canadian cinema, honestly. It really does.
It does, absolutely. Is there any kind of final thoughts you have, Lindsay, you know, about Blackberry? It's like maybe we should be a bit more critical about it, but it's hard for me too with this film because it was really well done. And I think Matt, you know, was interested in the material. I think the actors were really motivated by their characters. And at the end of the day, it's truly a Canadian story. Like this takes place on Canadian soil. And it's hard for me to kind of look at it through, you know, a really cynical, critical lens because I love this film. I thought it was excellent.
I think this film is fantastic. And I really would encourage people to go check it out, especially given how many awards it is nominated for this coming May's Canadian Screen Awards. I'm not joking. It's almost in every single category. They've got at least one nomination. See this movie. It's fantastic. If you can't find the film, log on to CBC Gem, watch it in three parts with an extra 16 minutes, and you can watch the whole miniseries for free. I highly recommend this film. This is a straight up 100% thank you telefilm. Thank you.
To our millions of listeners there, you know how I tell Lindsay, like, I could tell Lindsay liked this film because she dropped in thank you. Usually it's just the thanks, but today she dropped the thank you telefilm. And that's a truly resounding, you know, certified, let's do this. Like, you guys need to watch this film.
Straight up. Absolutely. Thank you, telefilm.